HKX, mobile.
At LK, mobile.
Again, Shane, you woke up now?
My voice doesn't want to act properly this morning for some reason.
This morning's like that, too. Just can't get my words out.
It's the old magician or healer on the Princess Bride movie, if you ever saw that, when he starts trying to talk. No, not him. The guy in the dungeon. That's right. The guy in the dungeon.
But it's been so long, I don't remember.
To talk, and he's hacking and coughing, and he's got this real raspy, weird-sounding voice, and then he finally clears his throat, and he's got this really baritone, deep, almost like a radio voice when he finally gets it cleared.
Heading into the salt mine.
I left about 15, 20 minutes ago from home. I'm left a little later than I wanted to. I'll be all right. I'd just like to get there early enough to be ready to go as soon as they put the last package on my trailer.
Hey, it seems like if I start 10 minutes late, it turns into like 2 hours by the end of the day.
That way. And the days don't seem to even out. You'll have, well, for me, you'll either have a really, really good, nice, easy day. Everything just seems to work right. Or it's the exact opposite. Everywhere you go, you're just... I used to tell people it's like I'm pushing, fighting the package to get out of the door, you know, back when I was doing the route deliveries. It was like some days the packages deliver themselves, and other days they don't even want to leave the truck. You're fighting them all the way to the door of the house.
The days are exactly the same way. They're either good or they're all bad.
Step back and look up at the sunshine and say, I have a lot to be grateful for.
That's the same way I do it. There's days like that, I just have to walk away for a little bit or take a break and do whatever I got to do to get back in the right frame of mind.
Deliveries have you, or not deliveries, how many places have you called on by this time?
I got one already this morning. These tend to take a little longer this morning for some reason.
Ready and easily?
Yes, sir. I'm coming down 153, heading back to 123 right now.
Your turnaround there at 25?
A couple of shops out here on 153 that I catch on the low end of it here. And then I make my turnaround there in the morning and then head back down.
Since I'm running a little bit later, you might hit there before I do. I know we've met up there pretty close, or right at the same time one time.
Well, I'm just now getting on 123 heading that way to make that turn around. So I still got a few minutes.
You're going to beat me. I'm not even on 25 yet. I'm still down close to Dacusville.
White Horse.
Or I cut through lower than that. Let's see. I'm on Hester Store. It comes out on 183. The one that crosses 25 at the QT there. But I'm further south. I'll come up that way.
I think I know where you're at. I know where the 183 crosses, but I don't know exactly where that road comes into 183 at.
Yeah, I can come through Traveler's Rest in Marietta. Come down that way, but it's quicker to go. Let's see, there's two roads. I come through Pumpkin Town, right there at the Pumpkin Town intersection. There's 288. That takes me into Marietta. And just a half a mile past that, there's Highway 135, which cuts through Dacusville and comes out on the more southerly side of 25. And it's actually quicker to go that way instead of going through Traveler's Rest.
I having to deal with the traffic and everything there.
That's a benefit, too. The first 20, 30 minutes of my drive, I don't see very many people at all.
It's definitely a benefit.
I was behind a ham radio operator the other day on that 288 going into Marietta. And I see him all the time. I've talked to him a few times. but he goes probably maybe 20 miles, 20, 25 miles an hour slower than what she would like to. She sent me a picture of his truck and said, can you ask him to hurry up? She just likes to hurry. She's not, I hope I'd left all my radios turned off at home. Anyway, she didn't need to be in that big of a hurry. She just feels like she's always in a hurry. So she was fine. She got over it. She made it where she was going.
Sometimes you get slowed down for a reason.
But she's all about the destination and not the journey.
Same way. She's in a hurry to get wherever she's going. So it misses everything else all along the way.
That's what makes the world go round. And for ZLK.
I know what you mean. For me, if I'm not 15 to 20 minutes early, I'm late. KO4HKX.
You also leave yourself, or leave early enough too. You don't wait till the last minute. Plan your whole day to wait till the last minute to leave.
That's for sure. My wife and I fuss about that one probably more than anything. I'm like, hurry up, we need to go. And she's like, we got 20 minutes. I'm like, no, we don't.
I used to set her clock 10 forward. I mean, she probably still does, 10 minutes when I was growing up. She had that clock set 10 minutes. That way I won't be late, she would always say. But then I'd always hear, oh, that clock's fast. I still have 10 minutes. And she was late to everything.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people that way. What good does it do to set the clock 10 minutes fast if all you do is remember it's 10 minutes fast and, oh, I got 10 minutes to spare? But there's a lot of people out here this morning that could use that lesson to enjoy the journey and leave a little earlier.
That I can do 60 or 65 on some of these two-lane back roads, which are, you know, they're good highways, and I'll still have people riding my tail and even passing me sometimes when there's an open spot.
People get with this truck, they think, oh, I'm behind a tool truck or a box truck, I'm going to take forever. Now, if you just stay at a steady pace, we're moving along. We want to get there, too.
Okay, my least favorite are the people, you can see them in the mirror. They're weaving in and out of traffic, and they zip past you or past me and then dart right in front of me and put their turn signal on and slam on the brakes to make a right turn. And I probably wouldn't be sad if I ran into the back of them, but I try not to. I haven't yet, but boy, it gets frustrating.
Yes, it does, but they usually get a good dose of the air horn.
We don't have any. They don't put those on our vehicles.
To have mine added, it cost extra.
Here, I just saw a brand new Ford pickup truck. It looked like an F-250, but I'm not sure. But I noticed the exhaust was in on the left side in front of the rear tire, almost underneath the door, right behind the second door. That kind of surprised me.
Somebody's done. I don't know why, but they like that stuff.
Tracked it that way, right? That's not something new Ford's doing.
I haven't seen it on anything or heard about it.
Aftermarket tailpipe. I guess they call it a side pipe now, but yeah, that surprised me. He just cranked it up, so I had a little moisture steam coming out of it. And I was like, what's that? And yeah, that's unusual. And it's a brand new truck, too.
Tried that back in the late 90s when they come out with that slope nose truck. They had the exhaust coming out in front of the right rear wheel. And I'm pretty sure they learned their lesson on not doing that, because all the complaints about the exhaust oxidizing the wheel and the paint, and you couldn't get lug nuts off because of it. I mean, it was a constant problem.
Imagine, I didn't see the right side. I'm assuming he's got dual exhaust on it, because if you're going to do it on one side, I wouldn't think the driver's side would be the one to do it on.
had it on the right on that one. But I tell you what, my competition must be trying to come for me this morning. They're both running their routes, following me along all week long, it seems like, anymore.
On their radar. We gotta follow this guy. He's selling too many, and we're not selling enough.
Peace, I'm living rent-free.
Yeah, a lot of people live like that in other people's minds.
I've been in this route this way since I started, and now all of a sudden, both of my competitions are out here on the same days.
There's been times I've shown up, especially when I was in the smaller package car, show up at the same time as one or two of the others, and it's funny just the comments people make about, oh, are you going to start fighting, you know, whatever, why don't you ride together, you know, that kind of thing.
Usually start that, but the guys out here, I'll walk up, shake their hand, ask them how they're doing, carry on a civil conversation, and go about my business like it's no big thing.
I'm in the same business. I try to be nice to them, wave at them. But I will tell you this. I've noticed over the years, people are not, you know, guys doing the same thing, or women, you know, same thing that I'm doing. They're just not as friendly as they used to be. I used to know a bunch of them. We'd talk. We, you know, meet up. Even when I was doing package, I knew a lot of the freight guys. But some of these guys now, they won't even acknowledge you're right next to them anymore.
With this, there's a couple of them out there I run up against that they won't wave, they won't nothing going down the road. I mean, won't even make eye contact. I'm just like, whatever, dude. You go do your thing. I don't even worry about it. But, I mean, I just think it's funny that, I mean, you're that upset over a little bit of competition.
I don't think on my part or in my business that they're really worried about that. I think it's more they're either just not friendly or they're so self-absorbed they don't even notice anybody anymore.
Society as a whole, and well, we don't know how to carry on a conversation anymore because of the cell phone. You can hide behind a keyboard and not carry on a real conversation with somebody because you got but don't know who you are. I can't speak this morning. But, yeah, that's just our way of our society now. But I have arrived at my next destination, so I'm going to say 7-3s for now, Shane. You be safe out there, and I'll keep an ear out for you on down the log, KO4HKX, and I'll be clear on your final.
Again this morning, and I could tell when you stopped, you get a little road noise in the back. It's nothing too distracting. It's just you're normal, and so when you stopped, I could tell, actually. I figured that was coming. Hope you have a great day. Good to hear you, and we'll talk to you again. N4ZLK Mobile.
2HXS Mobile.
HXS. Good morning, Dave, I think. N4ZLK.
That is correct. You got my calls correct. You got my name correct. Hey, Dave's looking up. Good morning, Shane.
You're slowing down. I heard Steve giving you, or somebody giving you a hard, no, it was Patrick, I guess, giving you a hard time about that. Because you did rattle that off pretty quick when I first heard you, and I wasn't sure what you were saying. So we talk a little bit slower down here. I'm sure you figured that out.
Oh, and for the 20 years I lived in Florida, you would think I'd learn that. But, you know, there's a lot of transplants down in Florida, too, so you get to run into your own kind from time to time. Up here, not so much.
Is from England. She left there when she was 19. She's 82, and she still talks like she lived there. She still refers to it as home, and whenever she talks to one of her relatives, her accent gets really thick. So I think that's something we learn as a kid, and it never goes away. Our accent becomes pretty much settled in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, let me jump out real quick. I got to get some liquid gold. And I'll be right back in. Give me about 5 minutes. I'll be right back in here.
15 or so before I'm where I'm going. We'll talk to you later. Excuse me. KB2HXS, N4ZLK.
Very good, Shane. N4ZLK, KB2HXS will be back in a few.
QLG, KO4NUE.
KOLG, KO4 NUE. NUE, no contact, I'm clear.
Texas Mobile, back in.
That was quick. I hope it didn't cost you too much. N4ZLK.
Worried about it.
Anyway, right?
Man, I'm not going to stress over it. Plus, you know, as little driving as I do anymore, when my wife and I go places, we generally take her car because she's got a four-cylinder.
An F-250, and I go about 30 miles to work, and there's a couple guys at work, you still driving that thing? And I'm like, well, it's paid for. I figured it up. What it would cost me to buy another car right now to save a little bit on fuel, it would take me a couple years to recoup that at today's rate, so I'm not too worried about it either.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I feel. You know, my car is paid for, my wife's car is paid for. I drive a Dodge Durango, and it's got the V6 in it. It's got that Pentastar 6. And as long as you're easy on the gas, you know, on the gas pedal, she runs real well. You know, I got no complaints.
I just hate to pay the fuel bill that my employer does.
The customers, trust me, they got that fuel surcharge in there.
They've always used that, even before it went up really high.
I remember years ago when I was still driving, you know, they'd add in like a 10% or 15% fuel surcharge to the customer, and they didn't care for that. I'm like, hey, this is what it is. You can't do anything about it.
Because if you need your stuff going somewhere, unless you can do it yourself, you got to pay somebody to do it.
Unless you want to rent a U-Haul and move yourself, deal with it.
In the early 90s, we were buying diesels and on the smaller package cars, because all of them were gasoline, and they had diesels. They transferred everything over to diesel, and then probably back in the mid-2000s, 2005, 2006, they started swapping back to the gasoline engines, and now we don't have any diesel package cars anymore.
Now, I remember, when I was living on Long Island, early in my career, I would leave Long Island paying like $1.30, $1.40 a gallon, get over to Jersey, pay a little bit less to top off, and then getting down to Georgia, I'm paying like 99 cents a gallon for diesel. And you're talking early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Always 10 to 20 cents cheaper than regular unleaded until someone, probably a politician, said, wait a second. Or maybe it was the companies like, wait a second, the trucking industry is only growing. That's a guaranteed increase right there.
People realize that diesel fuel is actually a byproduct of making gasoline. And what a knucklehead. Jeez. Some guy just cut me off at a traffic light. I damn near rear-ended him.
Do that.
Not fast. KB2H excess. Frustrated.
Also, diesel is a lot cleaner now. Regulations have caused a lot of that to increase the price as well. So it used to be cheaper. Diesel was a cheaper grade of fuel, but I'm not sure anymore.
A little bit more refined to get rid of some of the impurities, but it was funny. When I bought my last truck, I bought a brand new T600 back in 2002, and it was just before the EPA changed their laws and changed the regulation on the engines and stuff to add... here he goes again. My God. Come on, turn for crying out loud. To add the catalytic converter mufflers on the trucks and whatnot. And I bought the truck just before they had to do that.
This truck I drive, it's the last full year before some of the emissions on the diesel went through, where they had to put in some of the filters, the DEF filters, DEF filters, or DE filters, whatever, that they had a lot of issues with. They're still working on, they're still having trouble with even now.
You get that container on here, you got to put that DEF fluid in for idle?
This vehicle, it's the last full year of the Ford 7.3. The next year, I'm not sure if they had the DEF filter on it, but they had a lot of EPA regulation upgrades on the new engines that they had to come out with. So they're doing better. They're learning the technology, but even our tractors, the new trucks, they still have so many issues with that stuff.
And he bought a tractor a couple of years after I did, and it had the dual turbos on it. And he burned up the head on the engine because of it. And he was, well, let me tell you, being angry was an understatement.
And four, is that okay?
Yes.
Started coming out with this, the DE filters or depth stuff, and the regen that you have to do where, you know, you collect it while you're driving, but then you have to pull over and burn it all out, all in one go. They actually had some ambulances that had people in there on their way to the hospital, and they had to pull over because the vehicle wouldn't run. They had to do a regen, and I can't verify the stories, but there were, you know, people not making it to the hospital in time because of that.
The other thing, you know, you have to pull over and let the engine do its thing. I'm like, what does it have to do? What are you talking about?
Let's see, in the tractors, it's 1,500 RPMs and runs like that for about an hour so that it can burn all the stuff that it's been collecting that it didn't want to burn out while you're driving down the road.
Sit there and burn your engine up and burn your fuel up and your idle time. Because I remember when I bought my tractor, they were very insistent on me about idle time because it would cut down the warranty. If your percentage of idle time was higher than your driving time, you know, it would affect the engine performance and the warranties and all this other stuff. I'm like, oh my God, they're getting very particular. But of course, as you drive, you know, the percentages will go the other way after a while. But yeah, and then now they want you to idle your truck for an hour. That's crazy.
If you're driving long distance, it's supposed to, at some point while you're going, go into that. And you know, when it gets to a certain level, the soot level, they call it, it's supposed to burn it off while you're driving. If you are in traffic, though, you're, you know, like what I do, that doesn't have a chance to have that time period to do it. So Kenworth are the worst. You run them in the daytime, and they almost always have to be regen. So we try not to use them on the day route. Especially the new ones are getting better, but the technology is still works on it. It's just a pain sometimes.
If you're in traffic on like I-85 or something, you're in stop and go traffic, and the truck goes into like an idle mode, will it sit there and shut you down, or does it know that you're in gear?
Still, they call it a D-rate when the engine is, you're not going to have the power. It's going to go down in power, so you've got a chance to pull over somewhere and park it. Some of them do it automatically. Some of them you push a button to go into the regen mode. And it's not an idle. It's, you know, it's like you step your foot on the accelerator and running it up to the, you know, 1,500 RPMs or so, which doesn't sound a lot, but it is for a tractor, as you know.
Is, you know, you're driving along, and if you're in stop-and-go traffic, and then it's a major inconvenience, you got to find a way to pull over, and you can't get off an exit, and I mean, my God, what an inconvenience that is.
And in my mind, it's whether you're burning it off, you know, this filter is just collecting it all at once to burn it off, whereas you could be burning it off without the filter anyway, so maybe it catches more particles of the smaller stuff, but there's still a lot of issues they're still working through, but they're making them, you know, it's obviously working to some degree.
That story from years ago, there was a driver on the Florida Turnpike, and he was a, you know, company driver, getting paid by the mile kind of thing, and he's just tooling along, and I don't want to mention the company, but they actually shut the truck down because he got too close to his shutdown time, and they reached over and they flipped the switch on the Qualcomm, and they shut him down, and he wound up wrecking.
Yeah, control. Anyway, Dave, sorry, I'm here. I'm in the parking lot. I need to go. Good to talk to you this morning. And we can take our frustrations out another day. on these kind of things. KB2HXS and 4ZLK. Enjoyed it.
Oh, no sweat, Shane. I'm not frustrated. I'm just, you know, it's just fact, I guess. I'm glad I don't drive truck anymore. Have a great day. N4NLK, KB2HXS. I know it's a little fast, but sorry.
ZLK.
WA, KB2HXS, where you at? WA, KB2HXS, you're on, Steve?